Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
Well, Happy New Year to you. I'm so happy to be with you on this January 2nd, 2022. You know, with each new year, it can bring new hopes, dreams, and adventures. It can also bring new trials and frustrations. You know, turning that calendar page, it seems like a big deal, and yet some of us are simply picking up where we left off last year. Well, we're starting a new series today called The Power of 24 Hours, and it's really about maximizing each day from the beginning because we are given this gift of time and of days. And so what better place to start this year than the very beginning? I want to kick off our first service of the year with looking at Genesis 1, 1 through 5. So if you've got a Bible or a Bible app, feel free to follow along too. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. I love that evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Oftentimes with New Year's Eve, we're all so excited to welcome in that new day. And it's such a beautiful reminder that that's how God originally designed it. Evening passed, morning came. The first gift God gave the world was time, our day. We have 24 hours in each one. If we consider the gift each day, hour, minute is, how are we using that gift? Are we using that gift? How do you view it? Is it treasured, or is it more like a white elephant gift? Is it collecting dust on a shelf, or are you actually using it, this gift of a day? I've been preparing for this message for about a month, and in that time, I've had days that I treasured and I really made the most of. Those are super fun days, lots of joy on those. I've had other days that I'd like to erase from the calendar completely. I've been challenged to my core to consider how to see each day as a gift, even when unexpected circumstances suddenly change things. My expectations are unmet, and some days don't meet my standard as being considered gift-worthy from God. I'm sure it was all God's way of helping me prepare for today, and I am trying to be thankful for that, but there have been some hard days. So today what I want us to do is be challenged by that, to open this gift God's given us. I want us to reference our instruction manual that he's given us to use and to prayerfully start putting it into immediate use. There is a lot of power in each 24 hours, especially when they're used in the right way. So first of all, let's open the gift. What is your attitude as you approach each new day? In the chat right now, why don't you give me a thumbs up if you're a morning person, and maybe a thumbs down if you're not a morning person. I'm a morning person most of the time, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Whether you're naturally a morning person or not, you can choose how you will greet each new day, and that can radically impact your whole day. Whether you're in a season of joy and gladness, sickness or health, grief or sorrow, we get the same gift of time every single day. until we breathe our last, that's a gift that God gives us. So how can we use it? Where do we even start? Well, that's where this instruction manual comes in. Are you the type of person that likes to look at instruction manuals to assemble maybe a new bike, a bookshelf, or fix your car? Or do you like to try to figure it out on your own? I've not always been fond of instruction manuals. They are long and tedious, especially if you're trying to put something together from IKEA. Good grief, those are hard to follow. In the past couple years, I've been part of a family stitching group where we get we make Christmas stockings out of felt. And these stockings come in a kit with all the pieces you need and very lengthy instruction manuals. There are times that I want to skip reading it and jump right into sewing. And each time I do that, I make a mistake, I miss a step, or I have to redo something. I've learned that it's better for the success of the larger project if I just take the time to read and follow the instructions. Well, God gave us an instruction manual. It's the Bible. I have mine here with me today. And he gave us this so we could study and learn how to approach and live each day. If we use this manual and follow its instructions, we're better equipped to maximize the power of each 24 hours. And the nice thing is about this instruction manual is that we use it our entire lives. When I'm done stitching those projects, I chuck those instructions in the trash and I never look at them again. That's not what this is. This is living, breathing God's word to give us instructions for life. So we're going to use this today. So first of all, what does it say? What does God's word say about how to use the gift of each day? Well, one of the first things I noticed it says is we're supposed to rejoice and be glad each day. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I love that verse, especially on a good day. I even have a song to it that I've sung to my kids. It also says, "Our hope is in the Lord each day." Lamentations 3:22-24 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." What I appreciate about this is Lamentations is a lament. It's an entire book in the Bible where a person is grieving. And yet in the midst of this, there's the recognition that the Lord is where our hope is. What a beautiful reminder. So as you open the gift of a new day, before your feet hit the ground, you brush your teeth, or grab your first cup of coffee, I hope that you'll be challenged to thank God for the gift of another new day, even when you don't want to. Because there are times I don't want to. And I would challenge us to consider that thank you to God on those days simply as an act of obedience because we love God and we know it's good for us. That's why we say thank you. So what keeps us from making the most of each 24 hours? Why wouldn't we make the most of them? Well, there's a few things. The first would be the past. We get hung up on the past. We can look back at the good old days or lament old and past choices that we've made, and that can keep us paralyzed from moving forward. It can be far-reaching past or even as close as yesterday. I woke up yesterday and I was in a pretty poor mood. Ironic considering what we're talking about today. But our Thanksgiving had been super hard, and so I was really looking forward to Christmas, only to have my expectations unmet when a few of us found ourselves under the weather. And then my New Year's Eve was totally lame as I spent it alone watching people having fun on TV. Probably not my best choice, considering the mood I was in. But like Steve shared on Christmas Eve, I had options. I had unmet expectations, and the unexpected happened. I could panic, pout, or press on. Honestly, I fell into the pout pit. It was not my finer moment. I know I have a lot to be thankful for, but I was so dang let down that my holiday expectations were unmet. So I speak from very recent experience when I say it's easy to let the past negatively impact today. Another thing that can impact that is the future. We get distracted and consumed with what might happen tomorrow or farther in the future, things we have no control over. This seems to be even more real now than in the past, with a constant tension and focus on what might happen if someone gets sick. We miss out on enjoying the present moments. So how do we stay present? How do we utilize the gifts God's given us today in this moment? Author and pastor Mark Batterson, in his book, Win the Day, He states, you've got to learn like you'll live forever, and you've got to live like there's no tomorrow. I want to repeat that because I think it's so good. You've got to learn like you'll live forever. You've got to live like there's no tomorrow. None of us knows how many days that we'll be gifted with, so we can approach them with a posture of learning that assumes we're going to live a really long life, while at the same time not taking them for granted, because what if this was your last one? That really got my attention yesterday as I was reviewing the message for today. You know, if this was my last day, or my husband's or my kids, would I really want to spend it in such a negative, self-centered mood? Absolutely not. There's too much to do, too much life to live, so many people to love to spend it that way. There is power in each 24 hours. We need to live in the present, learn from the past, and make choices that can positively impact the future. There are two areas of scripture that I want to look at, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that I believe that God shows us how we can do just that, how we can learn from the past and live in the present to impact the future. So we're going to use the instruction manual God gave us. And the first passage of scripture we're going to look at today is from Exodus 16. Now, this tells the story of the Israelites receiving manna from God. They had escaped from Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and they were in the wilderness at this point. They had been in slavery for 430 years. That's a long time. And they are finally out of those circumstances in the wilderness. But at this point, where we pick up the story, they are starting to get hungry. Their hunger pains overshadow the miracle of being delivered from Egypt, and they start to complain. They think that they would have been better staying back in Egypt. Exodus 16:3 says this, "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death." Oh gosh, to be the leader of these people. Poor Moses, I always feel bad for him. In their current present, they are glamorizing their horrific past and imagining a bleak future. They're forgetting about those plagues that they were just rescued from in Egypt, or crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. That wasn't that long ago. They're stuck in the past and worried about the future. How often do we do that? Hungry for companionship, we remember a dysfunctional, toxic relationship with fondness and imagine a future alone, not seeing the alternatives God has for us. Hungry for a comfortable life, we shop and hoard stuff and imagine a future unable to get the things we want, not seeing that God provides exactly what we need. Hungry for immediate gratification, we remember tasty, unhealthy food we like and imagine the future deprived of what we want because we like that stuff, not seeing the damage we're doing to our bodies and the good choices God gave us for today that are better for us. Jesus also addresses the power of 24 hours, and we're going to look at Matthew 6. While Jesus was with his disciples, they asked him, "Will you teach us how to pray?" And he addresses how to deal with the past, the present, and the future in this prayer in Matthew 6. It's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to read from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. It says, "Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." Jesus taught us to pray, taught the disciples and taught us to pray in here. And he asks us to say this, "Forgive us our sins." Those are the things in the past that we've done or others have done to us. And by praying that, it's permission to leave the past behind and take steps today in the moment. He taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." As we look to the future, we want Jesus to take us down the best path, away from temptation and towards the things that are best for us. So that means we need to live in the present. How can we do that? How do we maximize each 24 hours? Well, let's go back to Exodus 16, because we're going to see some stuff there that I think will help us. It's a story of where God is not only teaching the Israelites how to live in the moment, but he's providing for them in that case as well. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 and then 11 through 21, Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "By evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, "It is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent." So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. So in this story, the people are hungry, and God provided what they needed each day. On that day, he sent them meat and manna. They still never really knew what it was. Manna is manna. What is it? Is what that word means, which is funny. God's instructions for the manna were not complicated. Collect what you need for today. Some were tempted to take more than they needed, and it spoiled. Do you find it interesting that God is providing a test to see if they will follow his instructions? We're wise to follow them as well. Why would he do that? Why would he give them a test to see if they would follow these simple, uncomplicated instructions? Well, I think as we demonstrate that we can follow simple instructions for today, it prepares us for more difficult tasks in the future. And it also allows us to witness to the faithfulness of God in both small and big things. God was caring for them in big ways when they crossed the Red Sea. He's caring for them in small ways by giving them bread every single morning for them to eat. And he provided that manna for the full 40 years they wandered in the desert, up to the point that they entered the Promised Land flowing with milk and honey. How amazing. It's also interesting to note that as we continue reading their story, none of these original complainers, aside from Joshua and Caleb, would enter the Promised Land. The lives they led in the past and the lessons they were learning in the present were going to be mission critical to the future of the next generation of Israelites. There is power in each 24 hours, whether we see the fruit of our choices or not. And that is impactful for them now and us today. Well, so similar to providing daily manna for Israel, Jesus' prayer reminds us to make the most of each day. He talks about the present. In that prayer, we read, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not "give us this week our weekly bread," or "this month" or "this year." It says, "Give us this day." As Americans in the year 2022, we are accustomed to relying on ourselves for a lot of stuff. We were never meant to be self-reliant, but God-reliant. It's easy to lose sight of the moment right now when we're relying on ourselves. A little further in this passage of scripture in Matthew 6, Jesus addresses some of the things that keep us stuck in the past or consumed with the future. So turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to pick it up at verse 19. Jesus says these words, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Our stuff and our worries can keep us from living in the present and making the most of the power of this 24 hours. When we seek God first and follow his instructions for today, we're able to tap into the power of this 24 hours. As we heard Jesus speak here, God helps us learn from the past without getting stuck in it. Jesus enables us not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries of its own. So now that we've opened the gift and read the instruction manual, how do we put it to immediate use? How do we put this day to immediate use? How can we live in the present and best utilize the power of 24 hours? How can we learn like we'll live forever and yet live like there's no tomorrow? Well, Mercy Me has a song which has very similar words to this, and I've kind of had it as a motto for, I don't know, the last 10 or 12 years. And the words go like this: live like there's no tomorrow, very familiar, love extravagantly, live a life to be followed. Let me say that again. Live like there's no tomorrow, love extravagantly, live a life to be followed. That's been such powerful words to me. And then because I've been living by that, it's really impacted how I've put this together today too. And even as close as yesterday, I had a chat with God, because as you know, I shared already, didn't start out to be such a good morning. As I was praying to him, I just was like, God, just this once, can I have a pass on this? I'm tired. I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm tired of trying to love extravagantly with no thank you or appreciation. I'm tired of feeling invisible in my circumstances, Lord. I'm just tired. Real raw conversation. It's clearly a pouty moment, but it was my reality as well. And it just really felt like God was saying to me, I love you too much to give you a pass on this. And it wouldn't be a life worthy of following if I did. So, like Pastor Steve said, press on. Say no to pouting. Get up and say yes. And make the most of this day. Remember, it's a gift. I had a choice to make. I could continue to pout, or I could listen to God and get up and make the most of the day. And it was hard. It was so hard. But I did, and I'm so thankful I did, because it turned out to be a really good day in the end. We need to evaluate how we're spending each 24 hours. What do you need to say no to make in order to maximize this day? And what do you need to say yes to make the best of this day? I have a couple tangible things for you that I think can help at the beginning of this new year, and they've certainly helped me. And the first one is pray. Begin each day with the Lord's Prayer, maybe this whole week. Say it so many times that you have it memorized. It really was healing to my heart, soul, mind yesterday. It's a good reminder to learn from the past, live in the present so that it can impact the future. So I really want to challenge you to read that prayer and memorize it and make that part of your day every day this week. read your instruction manual. You knew I was going to say that, right? Read your instruction manual. If you don't have one, we would love to give you one at our in-person service, but there's lots of opportunities to read the instruction manual online as well. So you don't need to miss a moment by doing that. Join a life group. You heard a little bit earlier that our life group fair starts next week. We all need accountability. We need other people in our lives that can help us when we are blue or down in the dumps or need someone to help us get out of that pout pit. So make sure you join a group and be that person for someone else too. Choose to volunteer and serve others. Sometimes our focus becomes so self-centered and all we need to do is take it off of ourselves and put it on somebody else to get out of that space. So I would encourage you to give and serve others. And finally, live generously. When we give and share with others, we're impacting the future and we're impacting the next generation. So live a generous life. Give some stuff away, give some money away, impact and love others through that. I hope that you can recognize and use the power of this 24 hours today and see it as the valuable gift of God that it is. And I hope that you can learn like you'll live forever and live like there's no tomorrow. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for this day, in this moment, in this time when we can be together studying your word. Lord, it's such a precious gift in and of itself. God, we thank you for the lessons that you can teach us. And Lord, in those moments that you're testing us to see if we'll follow your simple instructions, I pray that we will. I pray that we'll choose to do that, knowing that we can, when we follow you, it's the best choice we can make. God, I pray for anyone who is struggling with illness or depression or any of the ailments that are going around our country, our world, our community right now, Lord. I pray that your healing hands would be upon them and that your presence would be felt in a mighty and powerful way. God, we want to get out in our community and love people for you, and I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, I pray your blessings over everyone who is part of this service today, and we'll watch it in the future too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.